This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي اللهم اهدي قلبي وسدد لساني واسلل سخيمة قلبي آمين يا رب العالمين Inshallah, today we will begin with the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Khaliq and Al-Khallaq. The names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Khaliq and Al-Khallaq, are very familiar names, especially the name Al-Khaliq. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran that He is Allahu Khaliqu kulli shay' wa huwa ala kulli shay'in wakil. That Allah is the creator of everything and He is a trustee, meaning a disposer of affairs over everything as well. Now, and the name Al-Khallaq also appears in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Inna rabbaka huwa al-khallaqu al-alim. Indeed, your Lord, He is the knowing creator. Now, the name of Allah Al-Khaliq appears at least 11 times in the Quran, and the name Al-Khallaq appears 2 times in the Quran. That Inna rabbaka huwa al-khallaqu al-alim wa huwa al-khallaqu al-alim. Now, what exactly does the word khalq mean? The word khalq, generally we understand the word khalq to mean creation, to make something, to bring something into existence. But al-khalq actually means at-taqdeer al-mustaqeem, meaning it is the act of measuring something or determining the measure of something, and then the act of proportioning it, and then creating it, bringing it into existence. So it is not just random creation. It is a very, you could say, precise, planned, and calculated creation. This is the meaning of the word khalq. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the khaliq, it means that He has brought things into existence according to a certain measure, according to a certain proportion. And so and this is the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the perfect creator, right? Meaning the way that He has created things or the way that He makes things is perfect. So khalq is to create, bring into existence according to a certain measure, according to a certain proportion. So we learn, for example, in the Quran, in Surah Al-Mu'minun, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the creation of the human beings, where He says that ثُمَّ خَلَقْنَا النُطْفَةَ عَلَقَةً, that then we create the nutfa, the sperm, into a drop of blood, alaqa, or a piece of flesh that is clinging. فَخَلَقْنَا الْعَلَقَةَ مُضْغَةً, and then the alaqa, the clinging clot, it turns into a piece of flesh. فَخَلَقْنَا الْمُضْغَةَ عِظَامًا, and then we make the piece of flesh into bones. فَكَسَوْنَا الْعِظَامَ لَحْمًا, and then those bones are covered with more fat or flesh. ثُمَّ أَنْشَأْنَاهُ خَلْقًا آخَرَ, and then we produce it into a completely different, a completely new creation. فَتَبَارَكَ اللَّهُ أَحْسَنُ الْخَالِقِينَ, so blessed is Allah who is the best of the creators. Meaning, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the creation of the human beings, He mentions how He creates the human being in stages. Right? So this is not just random or accidental. No, there is an entire process. And we see this in the entire creation. You know, for example, even for rain to fall, it doesn't just happen randomly all of a sudden from nowhere. There is an entire process, right? There is the evaporation of water. There is the, you know, forming of clouds. There is the blowing of the wind. There is the, you know, perfect temperature, perfect pressure, etc. And then eventually the rain falls. So the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates is not random. And then we see that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Khaliq, it means that he is the one who brings things into existence. So Khalq also means to bring something into existence, meaning it did not exist before and now it exists. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Fatir that Ya ayyuhan nasu dhkuru ni'matallahi alaykum, that O people, remember the blessing of Allah on you. Hal min khaliqin ghayrullahi yarzuqukum min as-sama'i wal ard? Is there any creator besides Allah who provides you from the sky and the earth? Meaning Allah is the only one who provides you from above and from below and fulfills all of your needs. So this is the meaning of Khaliq. So in summary, we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He is the creator, what does that mean? It means that first of all, He creates, He brings into existence things according to a certain measure. As Allah says in the Quran, إِنَّ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقْنَاهُ بِقَدَرٍ, that indeed we have created everything according to a certain measure. وَخَلَقَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ فَقَدَّرَهُ تَقْدِيرًا, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who has created everything and He has determined it precisely. And this is something that we believe in. We believe as Muslims that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created everything according to qadr, meaning we believe in divine decree. And what that means is that nothing exists except that it has gone through four stages. And what are those four stages? Those four stages are that first and foremost, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had complete knowledge of it. Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew about it. He intended to make it. So first of all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's prior knowledge of things. Secondly, it means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had it all written. Okay, meaning that nothing happens except that it was recorded from before in the Lawh al-Mahfuz. And then thirdly, the third stage is Mashi'a, meaning it only happens when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills that it should happen, meaning things occur, things are born, things come into existence only after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills. And then finally, the fourth stage is the stage of Khalq, or the stage of creation. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates things, remember that all of those things have actually gone through these four stages. So there's basically what we learn is that there is nothing random in the existence, nothing accidental. Everything is pre-planned and known to Allah the Exalted. Secondly, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator, He is al-Khaliq, al-Khalaq, it means that He is the creator of all. So there is nothing except that it is His creation. As we learn, Allahu khaliqu kulli shay, Allah is the creator of everything. In Surah Luqman, we learn, hadha khalqullah, that all of this that you see is the creation of Allah. فَأَرُونِي مَاذَا خَلَقَ الَّذِينَ مِن دُونِي, so you show me what is it that others besides Him have created. Meaning if you claim that there are other gods besides Allah, well, then show me what is it that they have created. And then thirdly, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator, it means that He has created things and also equipped them with the knowledge that they need, with the awareness and the skills that they are in need of. Because He is Ahsanul Khaliqeen, right? He is the best of those who make. So He creates and He teaches. So we see, for example, in Surah Taha that Musa alayhi salam, when he answered Fir'aun asked him that, who is this Lord that you were talking about? Musa alayhi salam said, رَبُّنَا الَّذِي أَعْطَى كُلَّ شَيْءٍ خَلْقَهُ ثُمَّ هَدَى, that our Lord is the one who gave everything its form, and then He also guided it. So He hasn't just created the creation and abandoned the creation. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the creation, and then He has equipped each creature with what it needs, with the skills that it needs for its survival. And then when it comes to human beings, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also guides people. So we see the first revelation that was given to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What was it? It was Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq, right? That read in the name of your Lord who created. خلق الإنسان من علق اقرأ وربك الأكرم الذي علم بالقلم علم الإنسان ما لم يعلم. That he is the one who has taught people بالقلم with the pen, and he has taught the human being what he did not know of before. Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given people knowledge that they previously did not know. So he is the creator, and he is the one who has also equipped his creation with the knowledge that they need. And then fourthly, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator, it means that he can create whatever he wants, however he wants, whenever he wants, and how much ever that he wants, right? يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ. He can create whatever that he wants. And if you notice the names of Allah, Al-Khaliq and Al-Khalaq, what is the difference between them? Both mean creator, but Khalaq, this is a stronger noun. And this indicates, this signifies the quantity, the great quantity of what he has created, and the great variety of what he has created, and also the perfection with which he has created the creation. So this is the difference between Khaliq and Khalaq. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Khaliq and Khalaq, it means that he can create whatever he wants, right? And there is no one who can dare to even object. And even if we object, then what? You know, what is our criticism going to do? What is our objection going to do? It's going to make no difference. So remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he is the creator, it means he can create whatever that he wants and however that he wants. If you think about the creation of human beings, the first human being, Adam alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created him from what? From clay. And then Hawa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created her from only Adam. And then Isa alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created him from only Maryam. And when it comes to the rest of the human beings, they're created from who? From their mother and their father. Meaning that that's where the substance, the essence comes from. So look at the different ways in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates the creation, right? And then look at the different types of creatures that he has created. And this is so amazing. Yani, the way things come into existence, yani, the process of creation is so unique. It's so different. The way that, you know, for example, a chicken is born, right, in an egg. Subhanallah, that's amazing. You know, within a few days, the egg is, it hatches. Amazing. And then when you look at how an elephant is born, yani, subhanallah, or a camel is born, the pregnancy is much longer, right? So look at the different ways in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates the creation, so many different processes. So this only indicates Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's perfect knowledge and his perfect ability and his perfect power, which is why we see that the name of Allah, Al-Khalaq, in the Quran, it is paired with his name, Al-Alim. Meaning Al-Khalaq Al-Alim, the one who is perfectly knowledgeable also. Meaning he knows how to create different things. He knows how to create different things, meaning through different processes and also with different characteristics, with different abilities. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is perfect in his knowledge, he is perfect in his ability, he is perfect in his resources, in his treasures. Fatabarakallahu ahsanul khaliqin. And about this ayah, Mujahid said that people also make things, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also makes things. But of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ahsanul khaliqin, meaning the way that he creates, the way that he makes, and what he makes is far superior and far better than how people make things. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Khaliq al-Khalaq, this also means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can recreate the creation whenever that he wants. Ibn Kathir says about the ayah, إِنَّ رَبَّكَ هُوَ الْخَلَّاقُ الْعَلِيمُ, that indeed your Lord is the supreme creator, the perfect creator, the knowledgeable. He said that this means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is able to recreate the creation. He is able to establish the hour, right? Because if he can create all of this once, then what does that prove? It only proves his perfect knowledge and his perfect ability. If he can create all of this from nothingness, meaning when they previously did not exist, then of course, bringing them about a second time would actually be easier upon him, if anything. So when Allah is the creator, it means that he can also recreate. So what does it mean for us? Meaning, this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is Khaliq al-Khalaq. So what should we do? First and foremost, our responsibility is that we should worship the one who created us. That our worship should be dedicated to the one who brought us into existence. So we learn in Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhan nasu ubudu rabbakum. And who is your Lord? Alladhi khalaqakum. The one who has created you. Meaning the one who has created you is the one who deserves that you worship him. And he hasn't just created you. Walladhina min qablikum. He has also created those people who came before you. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Khaliq, our creator, it means that we worship only him. And we actually worship him. We dedicate our worship to him. We make time to worship him. We make worship a priority. Because reflect over yourself, I am because he made me, right? I exist because he created me. If I enjoy anything, it's because he is the one who gave it to me. So then why should I forget about him? Why should I not think of him? And why should I not show him my love and my gratitude and my submission to him? Secondly, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator, it means that we should reflect on what he has created. You look anywhere, even if you don't look, you just listen with your ears. And even if you were to close your eyes and block your ears and just think, just imagine, anything that you can come up with, anything that you can imagine, anything that you can recall, any memory even, it exists because of who? Because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when Allah has created such variation in his creation, and he has created things so precisely, so beautifully, so perfectly, then what does that mean? That we just gloss over things and we ignore them and we just move on? No, pay attention to the beauty that he has created. Look at the trees, look at the leaves, look at the lines on those leaves, look at the texture, appreciate the color. Right? Appreciate the fragrance, the certain scent, the material also. Admire the beauty of his creation. Admire the variety of what he has created. And all of this is called tafakkur, right? Reflection. So we learn in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that inna fi khalqi samawati wal ard, that indeed in the creation of the skies and the earth, wa ikhtilafil layli wan nahar, and in the alternation of the night and the day, la ayatin li ulil albab, surely there are signs for who? For the people who use, for people who have intellect, meaning for people who who have their minds and who use those minds. So reflecting on the creation is an evidence that you are using your mind. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes them, الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ. There are those people who remember Allah while standing, while sitting, and while laying down. وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. And they reflect over the creation of the skies and the earth. And what do they say? What is their conclusion? That رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا, that our Lord, you have not created all of this in vain. This is the conclusion that we need to come to. That you look at the sky, you look at the trees, you look at the grass, you look at the different creatures. First of all of this, abundance, this massive quantity of the creation, these great numbers, how could all of this be just random and useless? And then secondly, knowing the uniqueness of each creature, meaning the variety in the creation and how each creature knows its function, it knows how to live. what does all of that point to? That there is a maker behind all of this. So you have not created all of this aimlessly, uselessly. Subhanak, glory be to you. Faqina adhab an-nar, so you save us from the punishment of the fire. So what that means is that thirdly, that, you know, first of all, it means that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator, it means that we worship him. Secondly, it means that we should reflect on the creation. And thirdly, it means that we should be humble before him. And we should fear his punishment. We should realize his greatness. And then fourthly, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator, it means that, you know, when he did not create anything in vain, and he did not create the creation randomly, uselessly, when we are not an accident, nothing in this world is an accident, it's not random, it means that we should also live our lives with a purpose, right? That when Allah created us for a purpose, He gave us a precise, you know, existence, a precise form, and everything around us, you know, it has a certain measured, planned form, existence, duration. Then this means that our lives, our days, you know, they should also have a purpose. Our days should not be, you know, our moments should not be wasted. If Allah created us for a reason, then we should also live with a reason. We should have a goal, you know, both short-term goals and also long-term goals. And this means that, first of all, we should, set goals for ourselves. You know, for example, what is it that I want to achieve today? What is it that I want to do this week? What is it that I want to do this month? What is it that I want to do this year? Right? And then secondly, this means that we should also check ourselves on a regular basis, that where do I stand? What am I doing? What am I accomplishing? What have I accomplished? What is still left? What is it that I need to do? And then this means that we take responsibility for ourselves, that, okay, I stand here because I didn't do what I was supposed to. You know, we should be honest with ourselves. And then this means that, we should do better, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us for a purpose, and he created everything around us for a purpose. So it would be really wrong to live aimlessly, to let hours and days just slip away, to let our lives just slip away. All of this was not for nothing. So live with a reason, live for a purpose. And yes, as Muslims, you know, our purpose is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we are aware of that, we're cognizant of that. But we should also have those, you know, smaller goals, short-term goals. You know, for example, my salah, right? That how is my salah compared to how it was last year or last month? What is the improvement? What is the difference? And if there isn't, what changes am I going to make? Because Allah did not give me my body for no reason. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not give me time and all of this food and all of this enjoyment for no reason. So when all of this exists for a reason, I better make myself useful and I better live with a purpose. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator, then this means that we should, you know, we should appreciate that creation that he has created. And if we live without a reason, you know, aimlessly, that, you know, days and weeks are just going by and we're doing nothing, basically, then, yani, this is not really appreciating his creation, right? This is not giving regard to his gifts. And that is injustice. Right, that is unfair. And alhamdulillah, with the summer coming up, this is something that we really need to pay attention to. That let the summertime not be a time to just waste. No, let it be a time of growth, of a time of improvement, a time where we really take advantage of the opportunities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-khalaq, al-khaliq, and we as his creation, we should, you know, appreciate his creation by valuing ourselves and by making the best use of what he, the exalted, has provided us. And then you see, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who has created everything, then we should not forget that. We should remember that. When we look at the sky, when we look at the stars, when we study anything, whether it is about water, or it is about, you know, the human body, or it is about a certain virus or anything, remember that Allah is the source. Remember that He is the creator. And this should only increase us in our awe of Him, that we surrender even more before Him. So this was the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Khaliq, and also the name of Allah, Al-Khalaq. The next is the name of Allah, Al-Bari. Al-Bari, a beautiful name. Bari also means creator. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this name in the Quran, where He says, "Huwa Allahul Khaliqul Bari," that He is Allah, the creator, the inventor. So Al-Bari, generally translated as the inventor. And the name of Allah, Al-Bari, appears 3 times in the Quran. And what does it mean? It means the one who brings creation into existence. And there's a beautiful place in which this name is mentioned. Inshallah, I will talk about that. Let's look at the name Bari. The word Bari is from Bara'a. Okay? And Bara'a basically means when something becomes clear or free of another thing. So for example, it is said, Bari'a min al-marad, that so-and-so was now free or became clear of a certain disease, meaning he no longer has that disease. Okay? Bara'atum min Allahi wa Rasuli, a declaration of dissociation from Allah and His Messenger. Okay? So this is the primary significance of the root, that when something takhallasa, meaning when something becomes clear or free of another. All right? And why is that so? Because either it became separated from it, or because now it has a new existence. Okay? So, Bari, who is Bari? Bari is the one who brings the creation into existence. Okay? Meaning, Al-Mujid, the one who brings the creation into existence. Meaning, they did not exist before, and now they exist. It is said that Bari is the one who creates things without a previous example, without a previous model, meaning there is nothing like it that existed before. He is the one who created it the first time. And then if you think about it, Bari, Khaliq, the meaning is quite similar. So some suggest that the word bar is actually used for the creation of animate or living things. Okay, so basically, Khaliq is more general than the name Bari. Bari specifically describes the one who creates living or animate things. And then the name Bari also means the one who has distinguished each creature from another. Because remember the basic meaning of the word bari'a? To when something becomes free of another. So Bari is the one who has made each creature distinct. Okay, distinct meaning it has its own existence. It has its own life. It has its own unique qualities, its own DNA. So this is the meaning of the name Bari. Then it is also said that Bari means the one who created man from mud, because Bari, which is also from the same root, means turab. It means dirt. So Bari is the one who created the human beings from turab or from mud. And then it is also said that Bari means the one who has created the creation free of any faultiness or incongruity, meaning there is harmony within the creation, and every creation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created is perfect in its own unique way. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Bari, what does that mean for us? It means that, first of all, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who has created us, and especially the fact that he brought us into existence. We did not exist before. He gave us a unique form. And then he created us from mud, especially human beings. He created from mud. Then what does it mean? We should recognize the fact that he is our creator and we should be humble before him, right? Even when we have done something wrong. And this is so beautiful. You see the ayah that is mentioned over here in Surah Al-Baqarah, where we learn that when the Bani Israel, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed them, he saved them from the tyranny, the oppression of Fir'aun, and then he made them cross the sea. And what happened after that? Musa alayhi salam went for the appointment where he was to be given the book. And the Bani Israel, what did they do? They made a calf out of gold and they began worshipping it. They said that this is our God. Astaghfirullah. So when Musa alayhi salam returned, he said to them that, Ya qawmi innakum zalamtum anfusakum bittikhadikum al-ijla. That, oh my people, indeed you have wronged yourselves by taking the calf for worship. So what should you do? Fatubu ila bari'ikum. So repent to your creator. Meaning, Allah is the one who created you. This calf did not create you. In fact, you made the calf, right? And Allah is the one who made you. So what should you do? You should turn back to your creator. Why? Because when he is our creator and our return is to him, that this means that there is no escape from him. The only place of safety, the only place of success is with who? With our creator, with our maker. So this means that even when we have done something seriously wrong, then let us turn back to our creator. And there should be no shame in this, meaning our pride, our ego should not prevent us from turning back to Allah. You see, when you know that, when you have a good, a healthy relationship with your parents, then what does that mean? You feel safe with them, right? And that means that even when you have done something seriously wrong, you go and you tell them, right? And you cry before them, and you know that you have to talk to them. You know that you need their help to, first of all, help you feel better and then help you come out of your problem, right? To assist you. But there are some people who don't have that healthy relationship with their parents. So what happens? They go and hide from their parents. They don't tell their parents. They lie to their parents. So they don't get the help that they need. وَلِلَّهِ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى. This is not comparing parents with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above any example or similitude. What is meant is that when Allah is the one who has created us, what should that tell us about Allah? That he loves us, right? And then when he created us, we belong to him. And then when we belong to him, it means that we can only be safe with him. So even when we have committed the most serious offense, the worst of all mistakes, it means that we should turn back to Allah. We should ask him for help. So look at what Musa alayhi salam said to his people, Fatubu ila bari'ikum. Don't be embarrassed. Don't hesitate. Don't be arrogant over here. He is the one who made you, so turn back to him. And then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the bari, is our creator, is the one who has given us our unique form, who has distinguished us from the rest of the creation, then this means that we should also distinguish ourselves, separate ourselves from what he does not approve of, from the things that he, the exalted, does not like for us. And what are those things? Sins and other behaviors that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like. And that means that we should constantly be purifying ourselves, right? We should constantly be trying to improve ourselves, recognizing our deficiencies, our sins, our mistakes, and admitting them before Allah, and then seeking his help and asking him to purify, us. So this is tazkiyah, right? So Allah is the one who created us, and he is the one who purifies us. So whenever we do anything, even if it's the worst of all mistakes, let us turn back to Allah the Exalted. And then the next name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we're going to look at is the name of Allah Al-Musawwir, a beautiful name. Who is Al-Musawwir? This name of Allah occurs in the Quran, who Allahu al-Khaliq al-Bari' al-Musawwir, that He is Allah, the creator, the inventor, the fashioner. Now, the name of Allah Al-Musawwir occurs once in the Quran, and Al-Musawwir is the one who gives unique form to his creatures. Basically, if you look at the word sawwara, what does it mean? Sawwara, taswir, is to give a surah, okay? Meaning to give a certain form, shape, appearance, unique features. Basically, the word surah is also used for, sculpting something, painting something. So, musawwir is the one who gives each creature its unique form and appearance, its unique characteristics. Okay, you can say that the sawwara is the third stage of making something. Okay, how the first stage of making something is to make a plan. All right. Meaning, think about how a building is made. The first thing is that you make a plan, right? Meaning you have the whole design, you have the whole layout on paper, right? The second stage of making something is to make the structure, right? And then the final stage of making something is to give the finishing touches, meaning to give it its final face and appearance. So for example, when the building is made, when the walls, the roof, the ceiling, the floors, the windows, everything is in its place, then what's the final stage? The final stage is, okay, let's select the paint color. What's going to go on the floor? Is it going to be a carpet? Is it going to be wood? Is it going to be tile? What is it going to be? And then what color, what texture, what design, lighting, etc. So this is the stage of surah, to give the final form, okay? Meaning what is visible. And this, of course, includes decorating something, right? And beautifying something. And, this is what makes something unique from another. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the musawwir, it means that He is the one who has given everything its unique surah, its unique appearance, its unique form, by which it is distinguished from others. And when you think about the surah of each creation, there's basically two things over here, right? There is the tangible, the hissi, the very obvious form of each creature, which can be perceived by anybody. So for example, you see a creature, it has four legs, it is small, it's a little bit furry, it's got two big ears, and it's got a tail, and it's got small sharp teeth, and it meows. So when you look at it, you're like, yeah, it's a cat, right? Anybody, child, adult, yes, there will be some children who might call a cat a dog or vice versa. But in general, you see such a creature, you know that it is a cat, right? But then there is a surah that is intangible, meaning that is only perceived by those who really know it. So for example, when you look at a cat, yes, it's a cat, but then you know that it is your cat. How do you know that it is your cat? Because when it meows, you recognize the voice, right? The certain style, the certain way in which the cat is making that sound. When you look at the fur, you can recognize that, yes, this is the appearance of my cat, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, given each creature its own tangible and intangible form. When you, for example, hear a certain voice, you know that this is the voice of my mother. You know that this is the voice of my father, right? When you see certain writing, you can tell, this is the writing of this particular person. Why? Because you can just tell by the style, by the use of vocabulary, by the punctuation. You can just tell, right? So each person, in fact, each creature has their own unique surah, right? By which it is clearly distinguished from others, and its unique surah, which makes it, you know, beautiful in its own unique way. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-musawwir, it means that He is the fashioner of all existing things, meaning that He has formed things however that He wanted, however that He wants. And we have no say in that. You know, for example, a person looks at, you know, their face in the mirror and they're like, oh, I wish my nose was slightly bigger. I wish my nose was slightly smaller, right? I wish my lips were slightly more plump, right? Or my face had this unique, cut to it on the side, etc. We don't get to choose the way that we don't get to choose our unique form and face and appearance. Who decides that? It is the Khaliq, the creator, who gives the surah, right? So He is the fashioner of all existing things, and He has formed things however that He wanted. And this is what Imam al-Tabari says, that al-Musawwir is the one who has created the creation however that He wanted. And we see this in the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Infitar, that الَّذِي خَلَقَكَ فَسَوَّاكَ فَعَدَلَكَ, that He is the one who created you, proportioned you, right? And basically made you symmetrical. And fi ayyi suratin ma sha'a rakkabak. And He put you together, meaning he put your form together in whatever surah, in whatever form that He wanted. Meaning He is the one who decided what your height should be, right? What your weight should be, what your color should be, what your unique facial features should be. This is not up to you or me or any human being. This is all up to who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the one who gives every person their unique surah. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-musawwir, it means that He has given to each creature a special form, right? Or a particular manner of being, whereby it is distinguished. And this is so mind-blowing, because no creature resembles another, in the sense that even if you look at two twins, right? Yes, physically they may look identical. And yes, that is the case with identical twins. I mean, they look so similar that it's very hard for people who are not family or friends to tell them apart, right? But still, each person is different. Just because you have a twin, it doesn't mean that now you don't have your unique person. You have your unique personality, right? And we see that even when it comes to twins, subhanAllah, each has their own preference. Their voice may be slightly different, right? Their manner of writing may be very different. You know, subhanAllah, there are people who are able to complete each other's sentences, but it doesn't mean that now their being is one. No, they still have their own unique, identity. Each has, their own unique preferences. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who has given everyone their surah. In Surah At-Taghabun, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَصَوَّرَكُمْ فَأَحْسَنَ صُوَرَكُمْ, that He is the one who has given you your forms, and He has made every form beautiful. Ahsana, meaning he has made it beautiful, excellent, and perfect. And in Surah Al-Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that bala qadirina ala an nusawwiya banana, that we are even able to put together the fingertips of the human being. And if you think about it, every fingerprint is unique, right? So who has given unique features, unique characteristics to every single creature? SubhanAllah, the children of the same parents, perhaps born at the same time, amazing. But each person is different. Each being is different. So what does this mean for us? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-musawwir, and also considering the previous names that we have studied so far, He is al-khaliq, al-khalaq, He is al-bari, al-musawwir, then what should we do? It means that we should first and foremost believe in His oneness. You know, this should strengthen us in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in His tawheed. That, you know, just imagine His power and His ability and His knowledge and His resources and His perfection. That not only is there such variation within the creation, there is beauty and each creature is equipped with what it needs. Subhanallah. Yani, this should strengthen us in our belief in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This should increase us in our humility before Him. This should make us admire His perfection, not criticize His creation. You know, the fact that He has created every creature unique, this means that we should recognize the differences within the creation. You know, sometimes what happens is that we begin to think that we should be colorblind, meaning that we should not see the differences that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created within the creation. And this is a wrong approach, because when we look at the Quran, we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls the difference in the creation a miracle, right? وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ, it is among His signs, meaning among His miracles, that you know, so many human beings come from who? From Adam and Hawa. That He created you from a single soul, and then so many of you exist. And it is also from His signs that there is, you know, variation. وَاخْتِلَافُ أَلْسِنَتِكُمْ وَأَلْوَانِكُمْ. There is variation in your languages and also in your colors. So we shouldn't be colorblind in the sense that we eliminate and we try to erase the differences within people. We should honor these differences. Our problem is that we try to, that we think that a certain form is more superior to another, right? So we think that, you know, a certain shape of the nose is better than another, you know, form or shape. There was once a time when having thin lips was it. You know, it was the best thing ever. And then now, subhanAllah, the standard has changed, right? So the problem with people is that our standards keep changing. And our problem is that we start, you know, saying that, oh, this is better than this, and this is better than this. And that is not our place. Our place is to recognize the variation in the creation. And our place is to accept this variation, to honor this variation, and to and all of this only points to the perfection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is not for us to you know, boast about that, oh, I am better because I am taller, right? Or I am better because my lips are thicker, subhanallah. No, this is not a measure by which you become better. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who has given you this form. You have no say in this. This is all Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's decision. And we see, subhanallah, Allah is the one who is al-musawwir. Yet in hadith we learn that إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَنْظُرُ إِلَىٰ صُوَرِكُمْ وَأَمْوَالِكُمْ. That Allah does not look at your appearances, your suwar, right? Meaning your appearance, nor your wealth. Why? Because He is the one who has given it. Right? And He has given this to you in this world. And what is the worth of this world before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It is less than that of a mosquito's wing. Subhanallah. So what is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cares about? What is it that He looks at? He looks at إِلَىٰ قُلُوبِكُمْ وَأَعْمَالِكُمْ. He looks at the state of your heart and your actions, your deeds. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the musawwir, He has given us our physical surah, right? Then this is not something to be proud of in the sense that we boast to others over it. No, this is something that should make us work on our internal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, He took away that responsibility and that burden from us. Imagine if we had to select our physical appearance, how difficult that would be. Astaghfirullah. And this is only Allah's favor that He has taken that burden away from us. What happens when you have to dress up in order to go somewhere? Some people take an hour, 2 hours to decide what they're going to wear, you know, what makeup they're going to put on, what shoes they're going to wear. They probably change, you know, 3-4 times. We are so indecisive. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken this responsibility away from us, right? That we don't get to choose the texture of our hair. We don't get to choose the appearance of our physical body. However, He has given us the responsibility to worry about our intangible surah, right? Which is our actions and the state of our hearts, because that is what truly matters. That is what will outlive this world. Right? وَالْبَاقِيَاتُ الصَّالِحَاتِ This body that we have is going to decay in the earth. It's going to break down. But our deeds are permanent. وَالْبَاقِيَاتُ الصَّالِحَاتِ Especially good deeds, they will outlive us. So that is what our focus should be on. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is الْخَالِقُ الْبَارِئُ الْمُصَوِّرُ I think this means that we should be, accept the form that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us with. Meaning we should accept what Allah chose for us, right? That if Allah chose, Allah decided that you should be a man or you should be a woman. If He has decided your body for you, then part of being pleased with Allah is to accept the way that Allah has made us. It may be hard. And yes, it is truly hard for certain individuals. You know, they feel very different from their physical body. But this is about accepting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's decision for you, right? You don't get to choose this. Allah chose this for you. When it comes to your physical appearance, you might think that you're very ugly, right? And yes, a lot of people struggle with their physical appearance, with their body image. But again, this is part of believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala al-musawwir, that Ya Allah, You chose this surah for me, I accept it. And you know what? We don't have a say in that, but what we do have a say in, what we do have power over, is our intangible surah. And that is permanent. And this is so beautiful. There is some matters over which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not given us control. And then there are other matters over which He has given us control. So let us focus on what He has given us control over. And that is our actions and the state of our heart. Then the next name of Allah that we're going to look at is the name of Allah, Al-Wadud. Beautiful name. Al-Wadud, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, Inna Rabbi Rahimun Wadud. Indeed, my Lord is merciful and affectionate. One of the prophets of Allah said this, that my Lord is Rahim and He is Wadud. So who is Wadud? He is affectionate. We also learn in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَهُوَ الْغَفُورُ الْوَدُودِ That He is the forgiving and the affectionate or the loving. And the name of Allah, Al-Wadud, occurs 2 times in the Quran. But when it comes to the mahabba, the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which He has for His servants, or which He has for certain actions that the servants perform, then the hub of Allah is mentioned many times in the Quran. So what does it mean to al-wadud is from wud, right? Which is to love. So what exactly does it mean? The root is waw dal dal, and wadda basically means to wish for something, okay? To really want something to happen. And mawadda is love. So for example, in the Quran we learn وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً that He is the one who has made between the husband and wife mawadda and rahma. Mawadda meaning mutual love, and rahma meaning mercy, kindness, compassion. So wadda primarily means to wish for something, to really want something to happen. And it also means to yearn for, meaning to really, to strongly love something or someone. So it is a degree greater than mahabba. So it is said that it is Mawadda is ashaddul mahabba, meaning it is a more intense or more stronger form of love. Okay, meaning to be very loving, to be very affectionate, and mawadda also means or wad also means, to be with the one that you love, right? To accompany them, to support them, to assist them, okay, to be in their company. This is the meaning of wadda. And it also means to love something and to benefit it, okay? Meaning to love something and to also give it, to affect it with what is good for it. So the difference then between hub and wud is that hub is basically in the heart. It is the love that is in the heart, that is deeply settled in the heart. But mawadda is when that love is expressed, okay? When it is shown. So you see the difference? One is that you admire something or someone, but the other is that you show that love, right? You show that admiration. And how is it that that love and admiration is shown? We see that this word is used specifically between, specifically for the love that exists between a husband and wife, right? Many couples will complain, you know, a woman will complain, my husband doesn't really love me, right? Or a man will say, my wife doesn't really love me. Why? Is it because the other does not have feelings of admiration for the other? If you were to ask them, they will say, of course I love them. But why do they feel that they're not loved? Because they're not shown that love. They're not shown compassion. They're not shown that care. So this is why a stronger level of love is mawadda, which is not only mutual, but it is also, yani, it is expressed. Okay, it is shown in different ways. So basically, every wadood is muhib, but every muhib is not wadood. Okay, meaning every wadood is someone who loves, but every muhib is not, everyone who loves is not necessarily wadood. Because wadood is who? The one who shows his love. Okay, the one who expresses his love. The one who benefits the other with his love. So you could say then that it is a very generous form of love. Okay, because there's kinds of love, right? One kind of love is that a person becomes very selfish, that I like this and I want this only for myself. And now a person becomes very controlling, that you do only what I want you to do. This isn't real love. Real love is what? It is generous, that it makes you want to benefit the other and give to the other and, you know, have concern for the other, to be with them, to support them, so on and so forth. So when it comes to the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Wadud, if He is the loving one, what does it mean? It means that first of all, He is the one who is loving towards His servants. Okay? Meaning He is compassionate towards them. Ibn Abbas said, Al-Wadud, meaning Huwa Rahim. He is merciful. He is compassionate towards His servants, even though they disobey Him. And isn't that amazing? That, yani, if we look back at just the past few hours, you know, since the morning, what have we done? Have we done everything the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would approve of? No, there may be certain things that we did wrong, right? Without realizing or deliberately. Maybe we yelled at someone. Maybe we ignored someone. Maybe our salah was rushed. Maybe we did not even pray our sunnah of fajr. Subhanallah. Yani, we keep making mistakes knowingly and unknowingly. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is still compassionate towards us. He still gives us what we need and even more. So He is al-wadud, meaning He is the one who is loving towards His servants, even though they disobey Him. But this also means that He is especially loving towards those who obey Him. Meaning He especially loves His righteous servants. And you know what? His love for His righteous servants precedes their love for Him. Meaning He loves His righteous servants even before His righteous servants love Him. Because in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that فَسَوْفَ يَأْتِ اللَّهُ بِقَوْمٍ يُحِبُّهُمْ وَيُحِبُّونَ. That Allah will bring about a people, يُحِبُّهُمْ, He will love them, وَيُحِبُّونَهُ, and they will love Him. So what is mentioned first? His love for them is mentioned before their love for Him. So this is a fact. Allah loves his servants even before they love him, even before they know him, even before they think of him. Subhanallah. And then secondly, this means when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-wadud, al-wadud also means mawdud, meaning the one who is loved. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-wadud, meaning he is loved by his righteous servants, right? He is loved in return as well. And he is the one who is worthy of being loved. Of course we should love him, because look at the different ways that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has benefited us. There is nothing good we enjoy, we experience, except that it is from Allah, right? And the beautiful thing is that even, you know, when a believer is apparently so-called suffering, that's not actually suffering. Why? Because the suffering that we experience is all part of the mercy and the benefit that He intends for us. You see, in the Quran, we learn that قُلْ لَنْ يُصِيبَنَا إِلَّا مَا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَنَا, that you should say that nothing will hit us except what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written, He has decreed for us. Meaning, only that will happen which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decided for us, nothing else. So if something happens, it's because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed it. But I want you to appreciate the word ما كتب الله لنا, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed for us. You know what لنا means? In our favor. Meaning, even if something is happening to us, which is apparently painful, right? And it is painful, no denying that. It is something very difficult. It is something very frightening. It is something that, you know, makes us scared and worried. And we are afraid, and we have a right to be afraid. But still, in the big picture, it is actually something that is going to benefit us. It is going to work in our favor. Why? Because my Rabb is al-Wadud. He is loving, right? So even when, you know, we are experiencing something that is difficult, we should remember that this is all part of, you know, His love for us. And you see, sometimes as children, you may have experienced this, that, you know, your parents tell you something and you're so shocked that how is that possible? How could they even think of this? Why would they even do something like this to me? But then as you grow older and you understand why they said what they said or why they did what they did, you can only appreciate them, right? So even though things are very difficult to accept, but they're coming from a good place. Right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-wadud. And this is something that we should remember, that even though, you know, there's difficulty, my Rabb loves me, right? Because He is the one who is loving and He is the one who is loved. So I love Him. And then thirdly, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-wadud, it means that He is the source of love. Meaning He is the one who puts love in the hearts of His creatures for other creatures. Subhanallah. And being able to experience love, this is truly a blessing, a gift from Allah. You see, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that a believer loves and is loved in return. And there is no good in the person who does not love. Meaning, being able to experience love is a huge blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even, you know, for example, when you love your pet, right? Your pet bird, your pet cat. You love it. You show affection to it. And then it shows affection to you in return. Isn't that such a beautiful feeling? You show love to your children and your children love you in return. And this is such a beautiful feeling that really makes life so much more enjoyable. Right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the giver of love. He is the source of love. In Surah Maryam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ سَيَجْعَلُ لَهُمُ الرَّحْمَنُ وُدَّا, that indeed those people who believe and do righteous deeds, then the Most Merciful is going to create wood for them. He is going to create wood, meaning love for them. How? That He is going to he's going to put love for them in the hearts of others. And so we see that even, for example, the angels make dua for righteous servants. The angels that carry the throne of Allah make dua for righteous servants who are on earth. Subhanallah. They pray that, oh Allah, you know, save them from evils, meaning protect them from sin, and also protect them from the consequences of those sins, meaning save them from punishment. And then they make dua that, oh Allah, forgive them, oh Allah, guide them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the source of love. He is the one who creates love for his servants also in the hearts of others. Now, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-wadud, subhanallah, this is truly amazing. It's truly amazing. You see, we as Allah's servants, and you know, as his creatures, as those who are entirely dependent on him, and those who are in need of him, and those who are constantly benefiting from him, of course we should love him, right? We have no reason, you know, for not loving him. We have every reason to love him, and we must love him, and we should love him. And if a human being loves Allah, that is something understandable, right? Think about it. You know, if your cat loves you, it's because, you know, you feed it, you take care of it, you scratch it, you pet it, etc. You are there to fulfill its needs, so your cat begins to love you. And that is understandable. Why should it not love you, right? However, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves his servants, then this is truly amazing. Because why should he love us? You understand? We love him because we are in need of him. And we benefit by loving him. But why should Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala love us? Does he need us? Does he benefit from us? Does he need to provide to us? He doesn't need to. So when he loves his servants, this is truly amazing. This is truly mind-blowing. And it really makes you increase in your love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that, Ya Allah, you love your servants even though you are in no need of them, even though you do not depend on them, you do not benefit from them, you are still al-wadud. So, you know, this only increases you in your love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we see that the name of Allah, al-wadud, is actually paired with al-ghafoor and al-rahim in the Quran. That inna rabbi rahimun wadud, my Lord is merciful and affectionate. And then it is paired with forgiveness, that he is forgiving and affectionate, which means that even if we have done something wrong, we should remember that my Lord is loving. So turn back to Allah, seek his forgiveness. And we should also ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his love, right? There's that famous dua, Allahumma inni as'aluka hubbak, that, oh Allah, I ask you for your love. Wa hubba man yuhibbuk, and I ask you for the love of whom you love. Wa hubba amalin yuqarribuni ila hubbik, and I ask you for the love of those deeds that will draw me closer to your love. And then Ibn al-Qayyim mentions a long, beautiful dua in his book, Rawdatul Muhibbin, where this dua continues, اللهم ما رزقتني مما أحب فجعله قوة لي فيما تحب. That, oh Allah, whatever you have given me of things which I love, then make all of those things, or make that love a means of strengthening me, in your love. Meaning, let all of these things be a means of drawing even closer to you, of loving you even more. And then, وَمَا زَوَيْتَ عَنِّي مِمَّا أُحِبُّ فَجَعَلْهُ فَرَاغًا لِّي فِيمَا تُحِبُّ. And if there's anything that I love which you have taken away from me, then make that also a means of, having more time for loving you or loving what you love. Meaning, make that a means of me drawing even closer to you. And then, Allahumma ja'al hubbaka ahabba ilayya min ahli. That, oh Allah, make your love more beloved to me than the love that I have for my family. Wa mali, and more than the love that I have for my wealth. Wa min al-ma' al-barid, and even more stronger than the love that I have for cold water. Ala al-dhama, which I have when I'm extremely thirsty. You know, when you're really thirsty and you have that you know, cool icy drink, you really love it. So we're asking over here that, oh, Allah, make your love even stronger than the love that I have for a cool, fun drink. Allahumma habibni ilayk. That, oh, Allah, make me beloved to you. Wa ila malaikatik. And make me beloved to your angels. Wa anbiya'ik. And to your prophets. Wa rusulik. And to your messengers. Wa ibadika salihin. And make me beloved to your righteous servants. وَجَعَلْنِي مِمَّنْ يُحِبُّكَ وَيُحِبُّ مَلَائِكَتَكَ وَأَنْبِيَاءَكَ وَرُسُولَكَ وَعِبَادَكَ الصَّالِحِينَ. And make me of those who love you and love your angels and love your prophets and your messengers and your righteous servants. Subhanallah. Allahumma ahyi qalbi bihubbik. O Allah, make my heart alive with your love. وَجَعَلْنِي لَكَ كَمَا تُحِبُّ. And make me as you love. Meaning, make me such that I become beloved to you. Allahumma ja'alni uhibbaka biqalbi kulli. Make me such that I love you with all my heart. Wa urdika bijuhdi kulli. And that I strive to please you with all my strength. Allahumma ja'al hubbi kullahu lak. O Allah, make all of my love for your sake. Wa sa'yi kullahu fi mardatik. And make my striving, all of it, for your sake. Allahu Akbar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala al-wadud. The next name of Allah that we're going to look at, inshallah, is the name of Allah Al-Muhaymin. Al-Muhaymin is from Haymana. And Haymana means to guard, to preserve. This name of Allah is mentioned once in the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Hu Allahu alladhi la ilaha illa hu, al-maliku al-quddus al-salam al-mu'minu al-muhaymin. That He is Allah, other than whom there is no deity. He is the sovereign, the pure, the perfection, the bestower of faith, the overseer. So Al-Muhaymin is the one who is overseer, meaning he oversees his creation. And this name occurs only once in the Quran. So what does Al-Muhaymin mean? It is said that Muhaymin is originally Mu'aymin. Okay, Mu'aymin. So it is from Aman. Okay, Aman meaning to be secure, to grant security. So Al-Muhaymin is the one who grants security. Now, Imam Al-Ghazali says that Al-Muhaymin is the one who has three characteristics. Okay? Al-Muhaymin is the one who has three characteristics. First of all, complete knowledge of the circumstances of something. Okay? Secondly, complete power in order to benefit it, in order to protect it. And then thirdly, the drive or the willingness to bring those benefits together for someone, okay? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Muhaymin. What does that mean? It means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows us. He knows what is good for us. He knows what we need. He knows what our condition is, what our state is, right? He knows our past. He knows our present. He knows our future. He knows how to benefit us. He knows how to protect us. He watches out for us the way that no one else does. He watches out for us the way that even we don't watch out for ourselves. The way that our parents even cannot watch out for us. He cares about us. This is Al-Muhaymin. So the name of Allah, Al-Muhaymin, I want you to look at something. It is said that Haymana is when a mother hen, okay, spreads its wings over its babies. Why? In order to protect them. So I want you to look at this video and see how this mother hen, you know, is standing in the rain and it's got its, you know, it spread its wings, and look at how the babies, the chicks are, you know, taking shelter by staying under the mother hen. You see that? This is the act of haymana. Okay, this is what the verb haymana means. So what you see in this image is how the mother hen knows what its chicks need, right? And that knowledge alone is not enough. Look at the length to which the mother hen is going to protect and guard its chicks. Subhanallah. Yani, there is knowledge, there is compassion, there is care. And look at how, you know, they're hiding, but she's on guard, right? They're taking cover, but she is alert. So this is the meaning of the verb haymana. Okay, so when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-muhaymin, it means that first of all, He is the guardian who watches over His servants, right? He is raqib over them. He is watching over them. Yani, He is protecting them. And really, if you think about it, within a moment, a million things can go wrong, right? So many things can go wrong. So many things can be the cause of our death, the cause of our sickness, right? The cause of our destruction. Yani, within a second, just think about the law of gravity. Subhanallah. Yani, if it's there, yes, it can be a bit annoying at times, but at the same time, it's a law through which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is basically protecting us, right? Think about how, yani, the fact that our heart is constantly pumping, you know, all those connections are being made in the brain. There is antibodies within, you know, our body, you know, that are fighting so many invasive things that are coming into our body, constantly guarding, protecting. This is from who? This is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-Muhaymin, who is constantly watching over us, guarding us, protecting us, saving us. And we don't even know about that. We have no idea about what all is going on inside of our body. Forget about our environment. So much more is going on over there for our protection, right? So Allah is al-Muhaymin. Secondly, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-Muhaymin, it means that He is the overseer, meaning He observes His creation, right? He witnesses His creation, meaning He knows exactly what we're doing, exactly what we're thinking, exactly what we're feeling. And everything about us is known to Him. He is shahid, right? He's a witness over His creation. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-Muhaymin, it means that He is the preserver of safety, meaning He is amin over his creation, meaning His creation is safe with Him. Meaning the only safety we have is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And He removes the fear of His slaves. And if we start thinking about all the things that could possibly harm us, we would be living in perpetual fear. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he grants us a sense of security, a sense of safety through different ways. He removes our fear. And the only way of removing fear from us permanently is by entering Jannah. Because it is in Jannah where لا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون, where people will have no fear at all and no grief whatsoever. And then Al-Hasan Al-Basri said that Al-Muhaymin is Al-Musaddiq. Because remember, it is said that Al-Muhaymin is actually Al-Mu'aymin, right? Meaning the one who confirms his servants. How that when they have hope in him, when they put their trust in him, when they expect reward from him, when they are patient for his sake, then he, the exalted, does not disappoint them. He does not disappoint them. He will give them what they expect sooner or later. And even if there is, you know, temporary disappointment here where you expected that something would happen exactly as you wish, in the long run, the plan that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has for you is way better than the plan that you have in your mind for yourself. You see, Yaqub alayhi salam, when he sent his sons, right, to Egypt to buy food, and he advised them that, you know, don't enter the gates altogether, enter separately. Why did he do that? Because he wanted them to be safe. He was worried about the evil eye for them. But then what happened? You know, in the Quran we learn that his plan did not benefit at all. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had a different plan. And what was that plan? That the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam got caught in that in that apparent thing where it seemed as though Binyamin had committed theft, and Binyamin, the youngest of them, you know, he was kept in Egypt, and then the eldest of them also stayed in Egypt, and this really you know, made them humble and reflect over their condition, and they realized their mistake, and it broke them. And that is what led them to confess their mistake and seek forgiveness, right? So Yaqub alayhi salam wanted safety, you know, immediate safety for his children. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had a bigger plan, you know, safety for his, for the children of Yaqub alayhi salam, not just in this world, but also in the hereafter, right? So when they experienced that ordeal, it made them break down. It made them apologize. It made them seek forgiveness, subhanAllah, which inshallah will protect them in the hereafter also. So you see, we want immediate safety at times, right? We fear little things, small things, the things that are before us, the things that we can see. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a much bigger plan for us because He is Al-Muhaymin. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Muhaymin, what is it that we should do? It means that we should remember that He is watching over us, right? يَعْلَمُ خَائِنَةَ الْأَعْيُنِ وَمَا تُخْفِ الصُّدُورِ He knows the treachery of the eyes, and He also knows what the hearts conceal. And remember that one of the scholars, he interpreted this ayah as يَعْلَمُ خَائِنَةَ الْأَعْيُنِ, that this is like when a man is sitting amongst people and a woman walks by, then he looks at her, right? And as soon as people catch him, you know, staring at that woman, he looks away. But then when he notices that people are no longer looking at him, he starts looking at that woman again, right? So this is kha'inatul aryun, that you're trying to hide from people and you're doing something wrong secretly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that. And wama tukhfis sudur, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what you're thinking in your heart also. So there's no hiding from Allah. Remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching us. Secondly, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-muhaymin, this means that we should have absolute trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You need 100% trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah knows me. Allah knows my circumstances. He knows what is good for me. He knows what hurts me. He knows what scares me. And He knows what will save me. And He is there to protect me. He is watching over me. What does that mean? That means that I should trust Him. I should not be impatient, right? لَن يُصِيبَنَا إِلَّا مَا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَنَا. Meaning, have complete faith and trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? That He's got everything in control. And then thirdly, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-muhaymin, it means that we should also seek strength with Him. That we are weak on our own. We are very vulnerable. We are at risk. We are in danger. And the only place of safety is with Allah the Exalted, right? And so we see that, for example, a man asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that, Ya Rasulullah, teach me a dua by which Allah will benefit me. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught him, say, Allahumma laka alhamdu kullu, وَإِلَيْكَ يُرْجَعُ الْأَمْرُ كُلُّ, that, O Allah, all praise and thanks is to You. You are perfectly praiseworthy, and all matters will also return to You. Meaning, You decide everything, You take care of everything, so I depend on You. And this is why we learned that one of the du'as that the Prophet ﷺ taught us, that one of the last words that we should say when we go to sleep is what? The Prophet ﷺ told Bara ibn Azib that when you go to your bed, then have wudu, meaning make wudu, just as you do for salah, then lie down on your right side and say, Allahumma aslamtu wajhi ilayk. O Allah, I surrender my face to You. Wa fawwadtu amri ilayk. And I hand over all of my affairs, all of my problems to You. Meaning, you manage them, you deal with them for me, you solve my problems for me. I can't do this on my own. It's too hard for me. وَفَوَّدْتُ أَمْرِي إِلَيْكَ وَأَلْجَأْتُ ظَهْرِي إِلَيْكَ. And I surrender my, meaning I lean on You, in the sense that I completely and entirely depend on You. رَغْبَةً, with hope, وَرَهْبَةً إِلَيْكَ, and also with fear. Meaning I have immense hope in You, and I also fear You, that I don't want to displease You. لا ملجأ ولا منجا منك إلا إليك. There is no safety, no security from you except with you. اللهم آمنت بكتابك الذي أنزلت. Oh Allah, I believe in the book that you have revealed. وبنبيك الذي أرسلت. And I believe in your prophet whom you have sent. And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said that if you die that night, then you will die upon fitra, meaning that's a good death. And make these words the last words that you say. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala al-Muhaymin, we completely depend on Him and we hand over our affairs to Him and we trust Him that whatever He decides for us is best for us. Inshallah, we will conclude over here. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.